standards and needs, Gorbis writes. Before we created dishwashers, we didn't expect our glasses to be spotlessly clean, nor did we think dustless floors were necessary until we introduced vacuum cleaners into every home. Our tools change us. How is time changing again at the dawn of human-machine fusion? We've found that a new skill is emerging that allows for a new way of thinking about time and work. Rehumanizing time, in effect, allows people to skillfully redirect their time toward more human activities, such as increasing customer satisfaction, performing more complex machine repairs, or conducting creative blue-sky research. Medicine, in particular, is a field where rehumanizing time might have significant ramifications. Right now, physician burnout is on the rise. According to a 2015 study, 46% of doctors in 2011 reported at least one symptom of burnout, and by 2014, it jumped to 54%. There are serious consequences when doctors burn out or become depressed. They're more likely to make data entry errors or other mistakes, which lead to poor outcomes. To squelch burnout, the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, UPMC, and Microsoft have partnered to see if AI can help. Tal Heppenstall, treasurer of UPMC, suspects that today's burnout issues track with the rise in digital medical records, which requires doctors to spend time performing data entry rather than seeing patients. What they feel like and what they're burned out about is the fact that they're a slave to the computer, and it just shouldn't be that way, Heppenstall says. The UPMC-Microsoft partnership aims to use AI tools such as natural language processing to listen in on doctor-patient conversations and transfer some of that information into forms and medical records. It would be like having a note-taking assistant standing by at every appointment, something few doctors have. At Intel AI Day in 2016, experts from the Mayo Clinic, Penn Medicine, Kaiser Permanente, and Cigna came together to discuss the ways AI could change medicine. Overwhelmingly, the panelists agreed that AI is an ideal tool to reduce the load of rote tasks that doctors have. AI can help read x-rays and MRIs. It can find elevated risks of heart failure buried in medical records when a routine exam might miss it. It can help identify cancerous moles that might go undetected. All these insights can give physicians back precious minutes of human-human interaction with their patients. It's clear that AI will significantly alter the intricately linked concept of work and time. But what's not clear is how the extra time that AI provides will be used. At AT&T, AI is finding lost hours in workers' days by pulling sales leads across multiple systems. This has freed up sales associates to spend more time developing relationships with customers instead of hunting through databases. But if managers and CEOs continue to operate in the paradigm of machine time, then workloads will likely increase. Doctors will continue to see more patients. Customer service personnel will respond to more complaints and comments. Mechanics might be fixing more robots than ever. There will likely be some productivity increases, but to truly reimagine processes means that businesses need to consider where the best returns on their workers' times might be. Would it make more sense to offer more employee training? What about allowing for volunteer or social responsibility activities, which could benefit local communities and be good for a company's brand? What's known is that few people do their best work when they operate relentlessly at the edge of their productivity threshold. So as AI changes the nature of human-machine interaction, rehumanizing time reminds us that we have an opportunity to increase worker effectiveness and well-being along with productivity. Fusion skill number two, responsible normalizing. Definition: the act of responsibly shaping the purpose and perception of human-machine interaction as it relates to individuals, businesses, and society. It's surprising how quickly you can get used to riding in an autonomous car. The first time you see its wheel turn on its own, you might shudder. But by the second right turn, it all starts to feel normal. Many people who have ridden in autonomous cars quickly conclude that driving is far too complex and dangerous a task for people to do. Unfortunately, autonomous cars are not yet widely distributed, and in many places, they're still misunderstood. There's a gap between the use of AI technologies and the wide acceptance and understanding of them. Bridging this gap is where the skill of normalizing comes into play. Normalizing is about responsibly shaping the way people understand human-machine collaborations, as well as the overall perception of them. It's often most valuable when robots are introduced into public spaces like roads, hospitals, fast food restaurants, schools, and nursing homes. Normalization requires a subset of other skills, understanding of humanities, STEM skills, an entrepreneurial spirit, public relations acumen, and an awareness of social and community issues. Autonomous cars have been creeping up in our rearview mirrors for some time. In the early 2000s, DARPA organized a series of grand challenges to prompt researchers to develop robotic vehicles that could race against each other. DARPA's effort was one of the early steps in popularizing driverless cars. Fast forward to today, when Tesla offers autopilot for its cars, and Audi has launched its A7 Sportsback, nicknamed Jack, which is programmed to drive with human-like quirks, such as slowing down or speeding up to let another car into its lane. Audi, in particular, has an ad campaign to normalize the concept of its piloted driving systems. The car company presents piloted driving as a human-machine collaboration, which recognizes that no car today is ready to fully drive itself all the time. At the same time, the car's technology is there to help. In presenting our activities in the area of piloted driving, we had previously always placed the primary focus on technology and performance, says Mikhail Finke, head of the International Creative Department at Audi. We are now addressing the subject from a completely different emotional side. CEOs will play a significant role in normalizing AI technologies to the public. Right now, the public is mostly neutral on AI, although many people operate with assumptions based on the human versus machine binary. Because of this, one major event, such as a child being killed by a driverless car, or truck drivers striking in opposition to the threat of self-driving trucks, can create a crisis of confidence in the technology at large. CEOs must anticipate resistance through understanding the needs and concerns of communities affected by the changes wrought by AI, and find ways to ameliorate strife. Normalization is equally important when introducing new AI to workers. One effect of normalization is that CEOs must develop a clear thesis on the future of work. Workers, a critical asset in any organization, can become allies in normalizing the technology if they feel executives and management address their concerns, and if they have some say in the matter. A telecom executive told us that when AI came to the organization, the goal was clearly to use AI to make current workers more successful, not to lay them off. Management is telling a good story about AI as a means of increasing revenue and saving costs as a means of growing the business and making it more competitive, he says. So, a bigger pie means that people that are displaced by AI are reskilled and move to other areas of the business as it grows. Fusion skill number 3, judgment integration. Definition. The judgment-based ability to decide a course of action when a machine is uncertain about what to do. When a machine is uncertain about what to do, or lacks necessary business or ethical context in its reasoning model, people must be smart about sensing where, how, and when to step in. With machine learning, you are really disintermediating the human judgment, and the human's fault in the decision-making, says Adam Wenschel, Capital One's Vice President of Data Innovation. You are actually pulling them further and further out, and I think this is part of a shift that has been going on for a while. To bring human judgment back in the loop, Wenschel's team is applying and developing both statistical and soft skills. As machine learning models evolve, learn, are retrained, and reused elsewhere in the business, they analyze how they deviate from simple rule-based systems, or from previous versions of the model. This analytics-based judgment informs employees where to set up guardrails, investigate anomalies, or avoid putting a model into customer settings. On the intuition side, employees are encouraged to identify and voice concerns when something feels ethically problematic or off track. Even when your model is returning very good results and very good accuracy, people need to be comfortable and capable to jump in and say, "Hey, we may be getting great accuracy, but I have concerns of how we are getting there," Wenchel says. Despite all the remarkable advances in AI that we've heard throughout human and machine, artificial intelligence still has a framing problem. AI can get many things right, but it still doesn't know how to read situations and people well enough. Because of this, human judgment and effectuation will always be a key component to any reimagined process. For example, when Royal Dutch Shell sends its robots to monitor equipment and perform safety checks in its remote facility in Kazakhstan, it still requires the know-how of workers who are on the lookout for hazards. The robot, called Sensibot, is the first of its kind approved for use by oil and gas companies in potentially dangerous environments. A remote worker operates Sensibot, watching video feed and making judgments about risks. Similarly, human expertise also remains a crucial component of reimagined processes at Caterpillar Incorporated. When a new assembly line is being designed there, engineers are needed to walk through an AI-generated digital model of the line. The virtual walkthrough enables engineers to look for issues in the assembly, service, or ergonomics early on, finding potential problems before the line is built. This allows human experts to exercise their judgment to resolve any ambiguities or other issues early on in the process. Fusion skill number 4, intelligent interrogation. Definition: knowing how best to ask questions of AI across levels of abstraction to get the insights you need. How do you probe a massively complex system? How do you predict interactions between complex layers of data? People simply can't do this on their own, so they must ask questions of their friendly AI. Twin, how certain are you? Twin, what do you recommend? At GE, maintenance professionals who have the skill of intelligent interrogation understand the capabilities and limitations of the AI system and know how to get the information they need to make an informed decision. The workers play to strengths and don't duplicate the machine's strengths. In the process, the machine is training the humans in how to use it, just as the humans train the machine. In the end, it's human business and operational expertise that make the call for fixing or replacing a rotor, for instance. In our research, we see intelligent interrogation at work in a range of areas. Workers intelligently interrogate when they optimize train freights and cargo, when they investigate drug compounds and molecular interactions, and when they try to find optimal retail pricing. Retail pricing in particular offers a useful scenario for intelligent interrogation thanks to the large complex data behind the scenes that can make or break sales. Steve Schnurr, who runs retail operations at a major resort, uses AI from Revionics to optimize prices in the convenience stores on site. Even a small adjustment in the price of Advil or Band-Aids produces a significant effect, something that would have been impossible to understand and ultimately control without AI and an operator asking the AI system smart questions. Schnurr's team uses the system to find the best prices of Advil, Band-Aids, soda, and more at any given time under any number of constraints based on weekly sales reports on about 7,000 items. Schnurr poses the question: if you raise the price of Advil, what happens to Tylenol? The system can figure out the relationship between Advil and Tylenol, even though they're only classified by stock-keeping units, and show that, for instance, the last time Advil was raised by 25 cents, sales of Tylenol increased. The system also lets Schnurr probe pricing decisions in other ways, too, like, show me the most beneficial price changes, and tell me which items will sell the least with a price increase. The smarter the questions, the more insight he can gain and the better picture AI can paint for him of his overall operations. At GE, it's not just the turbines and rotors that are modeled by digital twin software. The software is also modeling workers. By modeling workers' behaviors and interactions, the software itself can determine how to optimize its own performance. This results in user-friendly software and equipment that allow novice employees and new users to learn how to use them faster. With all this digital guidance of work as it is performed, people might begin to offload too much expertise to the systems. Bill Rue, CEO of GE Digital, is aware of this possibility and emphasizes the importance of human judgment and training that keeps skills from eroding. You have to train people not to let the automation be their guide on everything. Good human judgment comes into play, Rue says. I think the idea of human judgment being trained into people so that the automation doesn't become a crutch to what they do is really the difficult scenario we will be dealing with. Intelligent interrogation includes knowing when outputs don't make sense, or that certain data inputs might be skewing results. I think that we've got to be cognizant that the machine is not all-powerful, Rue says. Fusion skill number 5. Bot-based empowerment. Definition: working well with AI agents to extend your capabilities and create superpowers in business processes and professional careers. Through bot-based empowerment, people can punch above their weight using intelligent agents at work. Imagine being a freelancer or contractor with a staff of employees at your beck and call, but your employees are digital bots, not people. The effect is that you can have the administrative and operational support that's more common for a CEO than a one-person show. Siobhan Zillis, investor at Bloomberg Beta, writes in a 2016 article, "Agents will make this possible, using a blend of learning algorithms and distributed labor to perform an ever-widening range of tasks at low cost. With help from these agents, we'll be able to look as smart as those CEOs do today." Zillis continues, "We'll also become more productive. Most knowledge workers spend less than half their time doing things they're really good at, i.e. what they've been hired to do. The rest is spent doing research, arranging meetings, coordinating with other people, and performing other minutiae of office life. These tasks could easily be done just as well by a machine or intelligent service." Myriad bots are available to help people become better at their work. There are scheduling agents such as Clara and XAI. There are tools to organize regular meetings so that you can mimic chief of staff activities with bots in Slack like Howdy, Stand-Up Bot, Tatsu, and Geekbot. You can share meeting minutes and highlight keywords with tools like GridSpace, Sift, and Pogo. You can improve writing with Textio or IBM's Watson Tone Analyzer. And you can even have a bot post updates or pictures to social media to build your professional and personal brand on your behalf with Dolio. Even those at the top of the corporate ladder can use AI systems to punch above their weight. Mark Benioff, CEO of Salesforce, relies on his company's AI product, Einstein Forecasting, in regular meetings with his executive team. The platform is capable of performing sophisticated modeling and forecasting, allowing Benioff to cut more easily to the heart of the matter at hand. For a CEO, he notes, "Typically, the way it works is you have various people in your staff meeting who are telling you what they want to tell you to get you to believe what they want you to believe. Einstein comes without bias." Benioff says he puts his trust in Einstein's objectivity, which has helped him to minimize the internal politics of his executive meetings and more accurately forecast sales. "To have Einstein guidance has transformed me as a CEO," he asserts. Of course, having the right tools is one thing. Using them effectively is another. The problem is that not everyone possesses the skills necessary to assemble and deploy a portfolio of bots in the optimal ways to increase their effectiveness and productivity at work. Fusion skill number 6. Holistic melding. Definition: the ability to develop robust mental models of AI agents to improve process outcomes. The world's first robotic eye surgery was performed in 2016 at Oxford University's John Radcliffe Hospital. The patient, whose retina had been misshapen by an overgrown membrane, needed to have the membrane removed. That posed a challenge because it was only a hundredth of a millimeter thick, and a mistake would damage the retina. Normally, a surgeon would have to physically calm her heart rate to carefully make such precise incisions between beats. But with robotic surgery, the surgeon instead sat at a console, nudging a joystick. The robot's surgical tools, which are designed to eliminate jitter or tremulous movements, enabled the skilled operator to complete a surgery faster and with fewer complications than without. Robots are revolutionizing the field of surgery by allowing surgeons to reach hard-to-access organs, perform precise cuts, and suture at angles with previously impossible dexterity. But the key to the success of these surgeries remains the surgeons and their ability to learn the skills required to operate the robot. In essence, the ability to project their surgical skills into the body of a machine. Holistic melding is known to anyone who's used a tool that's felt so familiar that it was as if the tool were an extension of his or her own body or mind. Melding occurs when you parallel park your car without assistance. You seem to just know how far the trunk juts out, or swing a tennis racket to make contact with a ball. Increasingly, machines are getting better at melding with us as well. When you start typing search terms, Google not only considers the most generally popular associations for its autocomplete feature, but also considers your geographic location, previous search terms, and other factors. It can feel as if the software is reading your thoughts. In the age of human-machine fusion, holistic, physical and mental melding will become increasingly important. The full reimagination of business processes only becomes possible when humans create working mental models of how machines work and learn, and when machines capture user behavior data to update their interactions. With melding, processes become flexible, adaptable, and potentially fun, akin perhaps to dancing with a skilled partner, switching from time to time the roles of lead and follow. A Canadian startup called Kindred AI is hoping that melding can help train its robots to perform dexterous tasks at ultra-fast speeds. It's pairing its systems with human pilots in virtual reality headsets, who hold motion-sensing gadgets. Their movement information is transmitted directly to the robots. In BMW factories, where human workers already share the floor with cobots, both people and machine actively sense their environments, and have learned how best to orchestrate each other's respective movements. The robots in these scenarios act as extensions of the workers' own bodies. There is no single way to facilitate melding between humans and machines, which makes the job of the manager and CEO in some ways more difficult. Approaches will likely depend on a specific team's needs and require a trial-and-error approach. One example of the diversity of approaches, though, can be found within the robot-human teams that operate NASA's Mars exploration rovers. On these teams, people program a robot to complete its tasks within the constraints of equipment, power, time, onboard memory, and instrumentation. According to Princeton ethnographer Janet Vertese, to make decisions for how a robot completes its activities, the team must decide how to decide. In effect, they come up with their own organization, codes of conduct, and rules of governing, she writes. Fusion skill number 7, reciprocal apprenticing. Definition: 1. Performing tasks alongside AI agents so they can learn new skills. 2. On-the-job training for people so they can work well within AI-enhanced processes. IPsoft's natural language AI assistant called Amelia tackles roles as diverse as IT help desk agent, mortgage broker, and expert question answerer for a British town council's website and call center. How can a single software program do so much? Human experts train Amelia, both explicitly and implicitly, how to do its jobs. Only through apprenticing can AI like Amelia or Microsoft's Cortana succeed in so many different contexts. Future work will require a keen understanding of the dynamics inherent in human-machine apprenticeships. For instance, if machine apprenticing is implemented in a sneaky way, where employees don't explicitly know that some or all of their work is being used to train machines, both machines and management can generate distrust. In the best-case scenarios, though, apprenticing can act as a salve against anxiety, passivity, and a sense of helplessness in human-machine interactions. Give people some level of control, make them feel invested in the future performance of a system or process, and they'll see AI as a colleague rather than a foe. Apprenticing as a fusion skill marks a distinct break from the way we've historically managed technology. Traditionally, technological education has gone in one direction. People have learned how to use machines. But with AI, machines are learning from humans, and humans in turn learn again from machines. Apprenticing means customer service representatives, or anyone who's working in conjunction with an AI agent, will act as role models to their digital colleagues. Role modeling, of course, requires the teacher to have appropriate technical skills. It also requires building AI in such a way that it's easily trainable. Interfaces matter in human-machine apprenticeships. Amelia, for instance, uses an interface that, behind the scenes, observes and watches the digital behavior of its human operators, a kind of background learning. Beyond background learning, software facilitates the apprenticeship relationship by escalating questions it can't answer to a human colleague, all the while observing how the problem is solved. Whereas traditional automation capital degrades over time, intelligent automation assets constantly improve. Of course, in fusion relationships, not only the machines need to be trained. AI is bringing about a renaissance in human apprenticeships. In fact, apprenticeships for people will be critical in filling the aforementioned skills gap in manufacturing, which is accelerating due to intelligent automation. Formal, government-backed programs like the one funded by the apprenticeship levy in the UK will be a test. Firms with a payroll of more than £3 million will have to pay a small tax, which they will be able to recoup, in addition to the £15,000 and a 10% bonus for each £1 paid into the pot, if they use the money to buy accredited apprenticeship training. That is, they can have the money back, and more, if they hire unskilled workers and train them. The challenge, of course, will be developing apprenticeship training, which will likely need to vary across industries and even from firm to firm. So ultimately, each organization must fine-tune apprenticeship programs that are right for it. The CIO at a financial technology firm notes that AI upset personnel roles within a team. But through reimagining, the bank was able to find an apprenticeship arrangement that made sense for workers, machines, and management. Because the bank started to hire professionals with different skills and experience, e.g. data management, data science, programming, and analytics to manage the system, the role of more senior members of the loans team became one of training and supporting the new recruits on the loans industry and providing the industry context for their roles. Their role also became integral in teaching the AI algorithm to learn effectively, the CIO says. This experience with apprenticeships demonstrates something more fundamental about work in the age of human-machine hybrids. One of the most important characteristics for a human worker or a machine is not necessarily to have the exact skill for a job, but be able to learn. Don't be a know-it-all, says Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on the topic. Be a learn-it-all. Fusion skill number 8. Relentless reimagining. Definition: the rigorous discipline of creating new processes and business models from scratch, rather than simply automating old processes. The final, and perhaps most important, hybrid skill is the ability to reimagine how things currently are. In essence, this is what this audiobook has been all about. reimagining how AI can transform and improve work, organizational processes, business models, and even entire industries. As we mentioned in the Part 2 introduction, Stitch Fix is reimagining the online sales and order fulfillment processes. Similarly, Capital One is known for its aggressive and relentless use of AI, cloud computing, big data, and open source technology, and it has scored a number of significant victories. It was, for example, the first in the industry to launch capability on Amazon's Alexa, enabling customers to check their balances, pay bills, and perform other transactions on that platform. More recently, it became the first among competitors to introduce its own intelligent customer-facing chatbot. Named Eno, the technology is equipped with natural language processing to handle smartphone text conversations with customers. A related application deploys machine learning to alert account holders to unusual transactions that might indicate fraud. To maintain its AI edge, Capital One has recently established a Machine Learning Center of Excellence, COE, for studying how the technology can be used to reimagine the customer experience. Staffed with employees from the company's offices in New York, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., the COE will be looking at how AI might be applied to help customers manage their spending better. The center will also be investigating the creation of computer programs that will help explain how an AI system arrived at the decisions it makes. The goal is to make Capital One a preeminent machine learning company, says Wenchel. Capital One is moving beyond being a financial services firm. It's becoming a technology company. We're in a business where two of our biggest products are software and data, notes Rob Alexander, CIO of the company. And that transformation, according to Alexander, has led to fundamental changes at the company. It requires a different talent base, and it requires a different mindset and an entirely different operating model. The organizational changes to help move Capital One into this new era of AI have also been significant. As just one example, the company now deploys technology teams that embrace some of the principles of agile software development, in which the goal is to fail fast in order to succeed quickly. The management philosophy of test and learn is a core principle in Capital One's culture. In late 2014, the company established The Garage, an innovation center on its Plano, Texas campus. The name Garage refers to the humble origins of many startups in Silicon Valley. At the center, staffers aren't given any specific orders, just general guidance to massively improve our consumers' experience with our product. That type of commitment to relentlessly reimagining processes, employee roles, and skill sets, and the core business itself, is common among companies that are leaders in deploying advanced AI technologies. In essence, reimagining is a fundamental skill that lays the foundation for the other skills like intelligent interrogating and bot-based empowerment. It is this capability to reimagine that enables people to more easily adapt to a different everyday world, in which advanced AI technologies are continually transforming organizational processes, business models, and industries. Opportunities in neural opportunism. The concept of fusion skills, abilities for combining the relative strengths of a human and machine to create a better outcome than either could alone, aligns well with research from cognitive science. Neural opportunism, the idea that people naturally use technologies to augment themselves, as well as ideas of extended intelligence and embodied intelligence, are relevant here. Humans, as research has shown, incorporate tools and technologies as part of our own cognition. From eyeglasses to bicycles to fighter jets, these tools, when we use them often enough and at an expert level, can feel like extensions of our bodies and minds. Artificial intelligence brings another dimension to this kind of biotechnical symbiosis. Smart machines are themselves neurally opportunistic with regard to their own unique strengths. By design, they collect information about their surroundings and incorporate it into their own cognition. So these eight skills, the S part of MELDS, put emphasis on a new kind of relational competence that's rarely, if ever, discussed in today's economic analyses or corporate talent development programs. Fusion skills require a novel way of thinking about human expertise and, by extension, a very different approach to educating and retraining the workforce. Leveraging AI to find a job. Bot-based empowerment skills also come in handy for job searches. If there's one guarantee for workers in these AI days, it's that the job landscape is quickly changing. Positions such as data scientist, which barely existed 5 years ago, are now all the rage. And positions that focus on rote tasks like data entry are quickly fading from job listings. How can people forge new career paths, find new training opportunities, or boost their online presence or personal brand on social media? The answer is bot-based empowerment. Job searches and recruitment is often a numbers game, so you're already behind if you haven't automated various elements of this process through services like LinkedIn or up-and-coming AI-based job search assistants like Wade and Wendy or Ella. By early 2017, LinkedIn had made it easy for people to apply for potential jobs with one click. The company had also made it simple for recruiters to blast messages to qualified potential employees. At the same time, services like Wade and Wendy and Ella offer a wholly different job search experience that starts with the interface, a conversational AI chatbot. Wade, for instance, works with people on their behalf to find jobs that fit their interests, skills, and background. Wendy is the HR counterpart that automates recruiting for the right candidate. Similarly, Ella is also a chatbot that asks questions about skills and desired job titles. Ella then searches for jobs, including those that aren't publicly posted. The AI refines searches over time so that the results are more targeted. Sean Paley, Senior Vice President of Digital Innovation at Lee Hecht Harrison, explains the benefits of services like Wade and Wendy and Ella. By automating the process of wading through tons of data, individuals will be able to focus on more complex and personalized components of a job search, such as interview preparation with a career coach and networking. Bot-based empowerment is a prime example of a skill that allows people to focus more on the human side of the job hunt. It can also help people tell a more coherent story about their career. Product marketer Esther Crawford was looking for a better way to market herself. Her bot, EstherBot, automatically answers questions about career history, education, and even hobbies that recruiters might ask. "I wanted to use a bot," said Crawford, "to tell the story of how I got from having a master's in international relations to being a product manager for startups." For people with bot-based empowerment skills, they know how and when to deploy AI agents like EstherBot, and they are able to effectively manage a small army of such bots. Conclusion. Creating your future in the human and machine era. When it comes to discussions about artificial intelligence, much of the conversation tends to focus on job displacement and fear that computers will one day take over the world. The underlying assumption is that humans and machines are competitors and that AI systems, with their superior speed, processing power, and stamina in so many contexts, will directly replace us in companies, and perhaps even outside the workplace as well. A number of quantitative economic studies have only heightened those fears. As one study concluded, absent appropriate fiscal policy that redistributes from winners to losers, smart machines can mean long-term misery for all. But such quantitative studies have typically focused on broad industry trends, and in doing so, they have missed what's been happening behind the scenes in everyday processes and practices. From our own research, including observational and case analysis across 450 organizations within our sample of 1,500, we were able to identify a number of important phenomena that the quantitative surveys have failed to capture. One is the concept of fusion skills. Humans and machines coming together to form new kinds of jobs and work experiences. This forms the missing middle that has been absent in much of today's polarizing jobs debate that has pitted humans on one side and machines on the other. And it's within this missing middle that leading-edge companies have been reimagining their work processes, achieving outsize improvements in performance. To obtain such results, though, executives must lead their organizations through the transformation by making the necessary investments, including retraining workers to fill those missing middle roles. Doing different things and doing things differently. To extrapolate how many companies will be making the transition to a new era of human and machine, we first needed to understand how executives are deploying AI in their businesses today. In part one of this audiobook, we described various applications in manufacturing and supply chain, chapter one, back office operations, chapter two, R&D and business innovation, chapter three, and marketing, sales, and customer service, chapter four. Studying those applications gave us a clear view of the future, enabling us to identify the different ways in which companies were filling the missing middle by creating new, enhanced jobs that have cracked open novel economic and employment opportunities. Specifically, our research discovered just how different these new jobs were from traditional kinds of work. Already, today, 61% of activities in the missing middle require employees to do different things and to do things differently. Hence, the crucial need for companies to reimagine their processes and reskill their employees. As we discussed in Chapter 5, these different things include training data models or explaining and responsibly sustaining an AI system's performance. And, as we described in Chapter 6, these new jobs also include employees doing things differently using amplification, interaction, and embodiment to get a job done with superhuman performance. Rather than relying on economic data far removed from organizational practice, you must observe these differences directly to understand and appreciate them. So far, though, only a small number of companies we've surveyed have begun to capture the potential of fusion skills, and in doing so, they have been able to reimagine their businesses, operating models, and processes in innovative ways. These firms, General Electric, Microsoft, BMW, Google, Amazon, and others, recognize that AI isn't your typical capital investment. Its value actually increases over time, and it, in turn, improves the value of people as well. Indeed, when humans and machines are allowed to do what each does best, the result is a virtuous cycle of enhanced work that leads to productivity boosts, increased worker satisfaction, and greater innovation. As such, these companies are leading their industries with redesigned job descriptions and learning and retraining programs, all sustained by a new set of leadership practices, described in Chapter 7. Their early successes have proven that they're on the right path. The pressing issue, though, is that most organizations have been slow in filling the missing middle, and the results have begun to show. In the United States, 6 million jobs remain open, and within this group, more than 350,000 manufacturing jobs go unfilled each month due to a lack of qualified workers. Globally, across the 12 largest companies by GDP, 38% of employers report difficulty filling jobs. The problem right now isn't so much that robots are replacing jobs, it's that workers aren't prepared with the right skills necessary for jobs that are evolving fast due to new technologies such as AI. And the challenge will only grow as companies apply AI and reimagine work in other areas. For example, the largest 100 global employers report that more than one-third of skill sets that aren't yet crucial today will be by 2020. There is a skills gap on the digital side of manufacturing, too. As factories become increasingly high-tech, they require more workers with software smarts. Siemens, for example, has recognized this and plans to hire 7,000 more people by 2020 in positions related to training and using collaborative robotics, software engineering, and computer science. But these sorts of positions wouldn't be included in traditional reports of the job outlook in the AI era, as AI has blurred the lines between blue and white collar, new and old jobs. People may not count those jobs in IT and software development as manufacturing jobs, says Eric Spiegel, the company's U.S. CEO, but they really are related to manufacturing. Our research has found that the real issue isn't simply that humans will be replaced by machines. It's that humans need to be better prepared to fill the growing number of jobs in the missing middle. In Chapter 8, we described in detail the kinds of fusion skills that have become increasingly important in this new era of human-machine collaboration. And we discussed the importance of neural opportunism, as people will increasingly need to incorporate AI tools to extend the capabilities of their bodies and minds. Unfortunately, there is not much evidence that business or political leaders are making the necessary investments in these areas. In the United States, the 2016 White House report, Artificial Intelligence, Automation, and the Economy, notes that the nation spends only around 0.1% of its GDP on programs that help people adjust to workplace changes. This number has fallen over the last 30 years. And the federal readjustment programs that exist, mostly used to help people deal with coal mines or military bases that close, are not designed to help people whose jobs are lost or changed by automation. Results are mixed in other countries. Japan and China are among those that stand out by making significant commitments to AI education and workforce training as the core piece of long-term national AI strategies. For instance, China's State Council has the stated goal of making the nation equal among leading AI countries by 2020 and the world's premier artificial intelligence innovation center by 2030. This development plan includes major investments in retraining workers for an economy where collaboration between humans and machines will become a mainstream production and service mode. A call to action. Reimagining business. AI is rapidly making inroads in business. Its swift adoption means that questions on both the opportunities and risks are at the forefront of most discussions. Leaders are faced with decisions today that have profound consequences. It's here, in the practical application of AI to business, where we hope this audiobook can offer the most help. For years, the dream of many researchers was to create an artificial intelligence that could rival that of people. However, we're seeing that AI is instead becoming a tool to extend our own human capabilities. In turn, we're guiding AI systems to evolve into better tools that further extend our capabilities. Never before in history have our tools been so responsive to us, and we to our tools. As we see with fusion skills and the missing middle, the real opportunity is to make work more human, reimagine business with a more human approach, and equip people with superhuman capabilities to perform more effectively. We believe our perspective, grounded in people and machines working together, requires a new approach and calls for the reimagination of businesses and our business processes. AI is enabling business leaders to understand better than ever what their customers and employees need. Through AI and processes built around hybrid human-machine capabilities, organizations can take these needs into account, realizing solutions that benefit both business and people. Our primary goal in human and machine is to provide leaders, managers, and workers with the necessary tools to prepare for this coming third wave of process transformation. As we've discussed throughout these chapters, this era calls for humans and machines to fill the missing middle by working closely together in new types of roles with a new kind of collaborative partnership. To enable that, we have described how executives must implement organizational changes to support a culture that encourages the reimagining of work process, all while investing in learning platforms and the continual retraining of employees. This obviously applies to the underlying fusion skills necessary to develop, maintain, and manage AI-enabled business capabilities. But it's also pertinent to other softer skills, such as those required to make difficult ethical decisions regarding the technology. As our MELDS approach shows, successful implementations of AI require more than attention to the technology itself. The fundamental focus of the leadership component of MELDS is to always keep people at the center of any AI initiative, taking into account employees and customers, as well as other human stakeholders. For example, as AI is introduced into the workplace, executives need to assess the various implications. How will job requirements need to evolve, and how will any labor displacements be balanced with broader workforce considerations? What new investments in talent are needed to retain industry expertise, and which employees may need to be counseled and retrained? There are also government regulations, ethical design standards such as those proposed by the IEEE, and prevailing public sentiment to consider. As we've discussed, it's incumbent on companies to ensure that the AI systems they deploy aren't biased, and they need to be able to understand and explain why they made certain decisions. Executives and managers must also know which decisions are being delegated solely to machines versus which decisions require human intervention, and there must be accountability for that process. In certain cases, transparency of the entire decision-making process might be necessary. Lastly, firms must proactively keep maturing AI technology in line with new laws and regional policies, such as the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, in Europe. In particular, personal data will require special attention in different ways in different regions, especially as AI systems become increasingly capable of deriving unprecedented types of insights beyond basic demographics. The previously stated issues are of crucial importance, and the fate of many people, firms, industries, and countries will depend on the solutions that are chosen. As we reimagine business and our organizations through AI, there is tremendous potential to create a better future and improve the way the world works and lives. To not only increase business performance, but to implement more sustainable solutions that better utilize critical resources on the planet, and drive powerful new services and forms of interaction with consumers and workers. In our research, we found that companies that use AI to augment their human talent while reimagining their business processes achieve step gains in performance, propelling themselves to the forefront of their industries. Firms that continue deploying AI merely to automate in a traditional fashion may see some performance benefits, but those improvements will eventually stall. We predict that within the next decade there will emerge a vast difference between the winners and losers, a difference determined not on whether an organization has implemented AI, but on how it's done it. And that's where the human element truly comes in. As we've shown, AI gives people powerful tools to do more, in essence to perform with superhuman capability. In doing so, AI has the potential to rehumanize work, giving us more time to be human, rather than using our time to work like machines. We're at the cusp of a new era of business transformation, the age of AI, and our actions today have great bearing on how the future unfolds. We hope our audiobook has provided you with a better lens to understand the opportunities and challenges ahead, and a roadmap for applying AI in the work that you do. Through the responsible application of AI and the relentless reimagining of work, people can and should reap the benefits of intelligent machines. As we take these steps, it's time to discard dusty old notions of humans versus machines, and instead, embrace an exciting new world of human and machine. Postscript from the authors. Our commitment to skills for the age of AI. Our goal with human and machine is to help people navigate the changes that AI is bringing to business, government, and the economy. We strongly believe that artificial intelligence, guided by the right management approach, will yield innovations that truly improve the way the world works and lives. This will also generate a wealth of new types of jobs in the missing middle. However, we also recognize that AI will bring dislocation, disruption, and challenges to many. It is essential that we provide all people with the education, training, and support they need to take on the many jobs required in the missing middle. In support of this imperative, we are donating our net royalties from the sale of this audiobook to fund education and retraining programs focused on helping people develop the fusion skills they need to be a part of the age of AI. This has been an Audible Studios production of Human and Machine, Reimagining Work in the Age of AI. Written by Paul R. Doherty and H. James Wilson. Performed by Jamie Rennell. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Charzuk. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2018 by Accenture Global Solutions Limited. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Incorporated. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Incorporated.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.